gets ready. He can touch as a prophet, evangelist, or a pastor, or a teacher. Then you have the prophet that points the index finger and says, "Thou art the man." Nathan went to David and said, "Thou art the man." That, and then when you look at the evangelist, it's the longest finger, so it reaches further, amen, than any other finger on the hand. Then you have the ring finger, which is the what? Pastor, because he is married to the local church. Amen. He don't go anywhere. Amen. And it's the weakest finger on the hand, so it needs the help of the evangelist and sometimes the teacher in order to do what it needs to do. That's why you have pastor and teacher. Amen. And then you have the pinky finger, which is the smallest. It gets in the ear like no other, so that you can hear. The teacher is the one that teaches you and gets down in your ear. And we need all of these so that the hand of God will be extended to us. Amen. And so we have the hand of what? Power. And in order for us to become powerful, we got to let all these gifts operate in our life. Amen. We got to let all these, we got to submit ourselves under the what? Hand of God. All these gifts have to be exercised sometime in our life. And we have to sit under those gifts and submit to those gifts so that God's power can bring us into unity of the faith. Amen. So that he can bring us to the place where we belong. Hallelujah. And so when we look at all of this and we see what he's saying here, he's saying that we just need to submit to God. Amen. Resist the devil. He'll flee because the power of God rests in us. Amen. We are new creatures. We are not the old creatures. Old things have what? In other words, when you look at the word pass away, you understand that it means the same thing that we say when we want to be nice about when somebody died. What happened? Well, they passed away. We're really saying that they what? Died. So old things are dead to us. When they talk about what you used to do, he's dead now. That's dead to me. That's not me. That's dead. It's buried. Where is it buried? The Bible said that our life is hidden in Christ. That's why you can look at me and you can't tell what I used to be. I'd have to tell you what I used to be. You would not have an idea what I used to do. Come on and say amen. I'd have to tell you because it's hidden. Anybody else's life hidden in Christ? If your life is hidden in Christ, that's why they don't know what you used to do, how you used to do it. Amen. They got a few people that'll remember what you used to do, but they don't really know the magnitude and the mind frame that you were in. But thanks be to God that all of that is hidden. Amen. Oh, my God, it's hidden in him. You can't dig it up. You can't find it. The Bible says that even our sins, that he throws them into the sea of forgiveness. He forgets about it. Amen. And thank God for his righteousness. Amen. Because when we thank God for how he forgives and forgets, it's not like people's. Amen. Because God, when he forgets, he don't remember what you did. Oh, yeah. He's not saying, "I know what you did last summer." He's not saying that. He's not saying, "I know what you did last week, last weekend. I know what you did." Once you come to God and you get under the blood, all of that has been washed away. And no longer do I have to worry about it hanging over my head. That's why Romans 8 says that therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You can't condemn me, devil. You can't. You know what it means to condemn? That means to slap a stick on it and say it ain't fit for the living and it needs to be torn down. And God is saying that you're not condemned. You are fit for the living, and that's why he put his living spirit on the inside of you, because you are not condemned, but you belong to him. He said, "I renovated you." Amen. The Bible said that when the devil, or when a strong man's in a house, he said, when a spirit is in a house, the strong man of the house has to be bound.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Yeah. Ain't nobody do you like Jesus. Amen. Thank you, choir. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity now to hear your word. Thank you for preparing our hearts, our minds, our spirit to hear from you. Lord, we pray that you will tailor the text that we're ministering today and meet us there. Show us what you would have us to know. Reveal the principles for us to practice. And then give us power to enact them. We give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Verse 27, Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Recorded are these words. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, it's all about God's will. It's all about God's will. Paul is writing this letter to the church at Rome, and he's encouraging the believers to understand their place in God, their position, their power through the person of the Holy Ghost and his ministry to help the saints. One of the things that I think is so admirable about this verse is that it helps the saint to understand that God has given to us help to do the will of God. He's given us a support system so that we are able to accomplish the will of God. Make no mistake about it, God intends for his will to be done. The Spirit here is one who does what he does in order to help the believer do what he or she must do as it relates to the assignment God has given to them. Jesus said, I do always those things which please my Father. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Night cometh when no man can work. It's clear that God is concerned about his own will. What is the will of God? It is the divinely inspired directive for man. The divinely inspired directive for man. That's the will of God. It's in what's called the Biblios, the 66 books of the Bible, the revealed mind of God. So we don't have to wonder what God's will is. Just get in the Word. And in the Word is the revelation of God's mind. God makes clear, even in print, what his will is for everything that exists. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's important to understand that there are some things that interplay in this verse that I want you to pick up this morning for your own encouragement, for your own strength on the journey, and for your discipline. To understand that this word starts off, and he that searcheth the hearts. Well, it's talking about God the Father. God the Father is the one who searcheth the hearts. And so understanding that, the first point is there is a sovereign search. A sovereign search. God is searching the hearts. There's a song that says, search me, Lord. Search me, Lord. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. I want to be whole. Search me, Lord. Then there's another one that says, let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. And the reason for that is because if there's any darkness, anything that's different from God's will, it again wants to be detected in the believer so that that can be eradicated so that he or she can walk right and talk right and live right for God. But I think you need to understand that there is more than that that God is searching for. How many of us will be honest and say, God really doesn't have to do much searching to find anything that shouldn't be? Am I going to have any witnesses in the house? He ain't got to do that much. Matter of fact, he can just look and see what's wrong with you. Matter of fact, listen, God, according to the Old Testament, looketh on the inward part while man looks on the outward parts. God specializes in searching underneath the skin. But my question to you this morning is, what is he looking for? He really doesn't have to look for sin. There's an abundance of that in us. He doesn't really have to look for shortcomings. There's an abundance of that in us. He doesn't have to look for our making mistakes. To err is human. So what is he searching for? I'm glad you asked this morning. He's searching for stuff that looks like him. Y'all sitting there like y'all knew that already. No. He's searching, listen, and it's sad that he has to search for his word under your skin. Because there's not an abundance of that. So he has to look under here and under there. The cracks and the crevices to find things that resemble him. Preach, Pastor. Search me, Lord. Now, here is the refocus. If you find anything that should be, then I know it'll please you. That's really what he's looking for. He's looking for that conforms to his likeness, that conforms to his word, his will, his way. And so he that searcheth the hearts, a sovereign search. Can I tell you, God knows where to look? See, man might think he knows how to look and to discover, but the sovereign search of God knows everything about you, even the secret places. God knows it. And so listen at this word. When you see it, it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Now, here is what it means in part. First part is, he knows what is in your spirit's mind. He knows what's in your spirit mind. He knows it because he knows all things. All right? But there is a participation, you know what I'm trying to say, on the parts of the believer that works with the part of God. The flesh and the spirit work together. So there are parts that we play and parts that God plays. And so it is all for the working together. And so when you begin to understand that you must do your part and participate in what God is doing, then when you recognize God works this thing out, number one, not about feelings and emotions, but according to facts, he also does something else. He knows not only the mind of your spirit, but he knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, whose directive as another comforter, because Jesus said in John 14 and 16, and I will pray the Father, he give you another comforter who will abide with you forever. This is speaking of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to be with you, to guide you, to guard you, to teach you. And to be with you whenever there's danger, trouble, situations you can't handle, he's right there for you. Now listen at this. So the Holy Spirit's job is to come and meet with your spirit. Okay? For the Bible says, because he, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for you. When I checked out the word intercession, and there were three words in there that was a part of the answer to the definition of what intercession was, it had conversation, it had consultation, and it had supplication. So here's what happens. The Holy Ghost comes into my spirit, and he has conversation with my spirit. And after having conversation with my spirit, then he has consultation with my spirit. When my spirit gets through telling him what my troubles are, what my issues are, what my deficiencies are, what my needs are, whatever it is that the Spirit of God hears from my spirit, listen at this, it is then that my spirit makes supplication, an humble request for help. And so it is then the next part that we move on to, which is the surveying of the saints. Because the Holy Ghost comes down and he surveys, listen, from the inward parts of man, from the spirit and the soul of man, what is really going on. Matter of fact, if you backed up to verse 26, the Bible says that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. So he goes in, and have you ever been at that point and place in your life where you've been hurt so bad that you can't even talk? You try to let the words out, but the words just won't come out right. They sound crazy, messed up. They sound somehow not to make sense, or you can't even articulate what you're really feeling, because between the tears and the pain, you can't get the thing out right. But the Holy Ghost goes down to the source and talks to the Spirit. And the Spirit reveals to the Holy Ghost what really is happening underneath your skin. So many times when you know something's wrong but you can't put your finger on it, your spirit knows. And your spirit talks to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit talks to Jesus. Tells God all about it. But here's this, notice this, because this is what's important. Why is the Holy Ghost doing all of this? Just to make you feel better? That would be a part of it, because he is a comforter, but that ain't the primary or major purpose for him doing that. Why does he do it? He does it because part of his job is to keep you on track. To keep you on course. And it grieves him when you get out of the will of God. See, that's why for a believer just can't do anything and nothing happens underneath the skin. That doesn't bother their conscience. It doesn't weigh upon them. It doesn't make them feel bad. See, with a believer, when we get out of line, stuff underneath the skin just start getting restless. Peaceless. There's problematic issues going on underneath the skin because the spirit is not comfortable with what the flesh is doing. And so he makes a call to the Holy Ghost. Help me. Help me. Help me. And so the Holy Ghost comes down and deals with your spirit man. Maketh intercession for your spirit. You think you know what you need, but you don't know what you need. You might know what your flesh needs or desires, but it is so far, so many times from what your spirit man needs. And the problem is that we are made of dust and divinity. The dust represents the flesh, the divinity represents the spirit, but we're more concerned about the dust, the flesh. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to put on, what we're going to drive, where we're going to live, how we feel, our passions, our pleasures, all about the flesh. But listen at this. The spirit, our spirit, is concerned about God's will. Our spirit man is concerned about pleasing God. Our spirit man is that part of us that looks more like God than any part of us. And it is that part that God fellowships with. Why do you think David says, and renew a right spirit within me? My brothers, my sisters, it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit, when he surveys your soul and he walks around, collects information about what's going on, talks to your spirit, and then consults with what your spirit ought to do, he conveys all of that up to God. There is a wireless transfer that happens. Matter of fact, the Bible says he knoweth what is the mind of the spirit. So he ain't got to fax it to God. He ain't got to email him that. He ain't got to text him that. He ain't got to call him up. It's in his mind, and God get it instantly. See, that's why before you even call him, Jeremiah say he already answers it. I'm just about to call the Lord up. He already got it. He know. Now, he does want you to call to acknowledge who he is and that he's the way maker and he's the one that you come to and that he's your source. But he already knows what you're calling about. Here go John. He's about to tell me about such and such. Father, I want to tell you about such and such. Leans over and look at Jesus. All right. Now listen at this. Because there is, third point, a supernatural standard. And it says, according to the will of God. Not the will of man, not my will, but according to the will of God. So here it is. The Holy Spirit does what he does or do because he is trying to get you aligned with the will of God. According to the will of God. You see, unless it concerns his will, the Holy Ghost really doesn't have any part in your life. He stands idly by until he's called in to do his job concerning God's will for your life. And so what people of God miss and they misunderstand so many times is the reason you can't feel the Spirit. You ain't got the Spirit. Is because you're not trying to line up with God's will for your life. The reason the Spirit of God doesn't have fellowship with you is because until you decide you want to be what God wants you to be, do what God wants you to do, are ready to line up with God, listen, the Holy Ghost will guide you. The Holy Ghost will lead you. The Holy Ghost will teach you. The Holy Ghost will be the one to empower you to do it. But you've got to want to do the will of God. It's all about God's will. You do anything that relates to doing God's will and you get God excited. Because there's nothing that excites more God more than his word, his will, and his way. It says to God, you finally got it. It says to God, you've connected now to a higher will, a higher power, a higher authority. When you connect with my will. This divinely inspired directive to man is what man ought to daily concern himself with. When Jesus, the Son of God, and the Son of Man was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was at that point where the flesh and the spirit were tugging one against the other. The flesh knew what it was about to deal with. It's like getting ready to go to the dentist. You got an abscess or toothache and it's paining you, but you think about that drill more and the pain that may, you know, so you start going through stuff before you even get in the chair. But Jesus knew he was getting ready to go to the cross. His flesh did not want, he had seen folk crucified on the cross. He wasn't the first man to be crucified. He knew what that entailed and his flesh didn't want to deal with that. And I think I need to throw this out parenthetically. Just because you're saved, holy, filled with the Holy Ghost, don't mean you like going through stuff. Don't mean you get excited because you getting ready to be tested or going through some problems. Matter of fact, your rejoicing is not going in it. It's thinking about coming out of it. You have to fast forward your mind to I'm coming out before you even go in for you to start rejoicing and praising the Lord. Don't act like it comes naturally because it doesn't. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. That means you've got to pull on that God has placed in you through his word.